So, I always get so frustrated when I read an article about AI that is, totally misses the point. We don't know how human beings think. So if you can say that you think that the way an AI app thinks isn't like a human being, well, no, you have no idea. It could be that when we finally do, if we ever do figure out how our own memories and minds work, that it'll be just as stupid as the way, ChatGPT thinks. Who knows? And honestly, who gives a fuck? It's just like the question that people argue over, is that art? And it's pointless. It's uninteresting. You'll never settle it. People, art is everything and it's nothing, and it means something to you, but it doesn't mean anything to me. And the fact that it doesn't mean anything to me is itself, in my humble opinion, art. We could go around in circles and get nowhere and accomplish absolutely nothing by having that discussion, right? So, I don't know. It may not be intelligent. It sure does a pretty freaking good job of imitating intelligence. And I don't care. I'm not here to be impressed, although I am incredibly impressed, not only with what it can do, but the rate at which it's improving. It's amazing. It's like, I don't know. I've never experienced anything like this in technology. And I've been doing this for a very long time. And I've had some thrilling experiences, like living in the future type moments where I'm like the first person to see this, or I'm amongst the first 50 people in the world to see this. And what it is ends up being something that makes a big difference. I've even created some things that make a big difference. And so obviously I'm attached to those. I'm impressed by those because I had the personal experience of having the idea and making the system work and getting other people to do it and having it be every bit as good, way better than anything I had imagined. In some cases, way worse in the sense that it had very negative impacts for the world. But these are amazing things to have experienced in a lifetime. Yet nothing comes close to this. And every day I have an experience that if I could tell you the story, you would say, oh, if you're honest, if you're not just looking for another story to sell to an editor who wants proof that this stuff is just a bubble and not relevant. In that case, and you don't have to listen to this if that's the business you're in, this isn't going to make a difference to you. But every day I do something with this that I hadn't conceived of before, and I get to see the AB. The before and after. And it just happened just now. I have a server app that I a client and a server. And the idea is that it's a writing environment. And you sit there and you write. And it is published. When you decide to publish it, it goes out through WordPress and through WordPress to lots of other places. And people want this. Because WordPress is an incredible distribution system for writing, and yet the writing tools for WordPress are barely developed. And so there's a real opportunity there. And so one of the functions inside this, the server side of this, is something called WebSockets. And it opens up a connection back from the server to the client, from the server to the editor. And it has just one function, but it can have many more. It's an exciting piece of technology, and a lot of developers like the idea of putting it in their product because maybe someday they'll think of some really incredible way to use it. But right now, the way we use it is pretty mundane. It basically, if you log on to the app's called Wordland. If you log on to it from one machine and then later on you go downstairs to the kitchen and you've got a computer there and you use it from that location, then on your desktop, when you come back, it'll say, hey, you know what? You have to reload the page before you do anything here because it's been opened on another computer. And this way you avoid synchronization errors. And it's a very nice thing to have. And that's implemented by WebSockets. So there's your reason for having. In other words, when you open up another copy of the software, it knows who you are because you had to log in, so you've got a user ID, and then it just broadcasts this, you know, kiss goodnight is what it's called, a kiss goodnight message to every other connected desktop or whatever computer, any kind of computer, and says, look, you know, don't let him use this. Make him reload. It's nice. I like it. Anyway, so when it came time to write this functionality, which I don't know, probably is 5 years ago, because it's like I put it into all my apps because I really like WebSockets, and I did it once and it worked, and I thought, okay, this is great. And I didn't think about it again. And now all of a sudden, in Wordland, it's not working. On the wordland.social server, it's like, it's just not working. And then sometimes it works. It's one of these weird things where it's intermittent, okay? And remember, I haven't worked on this in years. I haven't even thought about it in years. It's just in there, and I smile every time I get the message because I like it. It's saving me work as a user. And so now I've got to debug this thing. So what I do is I bring it to ChatGPT and I say, here's the problem. I'm using WebSockets on the server and on the client, and the client's trying to connect with the server and it keeps getting errors. And it's not just happening for me, it's happening to everyone. It's not curing itself as I've seen it do in the past. And where do I begin to debug this thing, right? And it gives me a list of things to check, some of which I know right off the top are not the problem. You know, this is mature code. Yes, it's being called. I can see that in the console, in the log. I can see that it was being called. All these things we can just like eliminate as possibilities. And it says, okay, now try this. And I go back to the server and it gives me a command to try, get some data, send it back to it. It says, okay, now we know. And it's very clear to tell me, these are the things we now know. And it also knows about my installation on the server. I'm using something called Caddy, which implements HTTPS for me. And this is all tied up in that area too, because all the requests are coming in through Caddy. And that's, you know, there's just so many moving parts here. And it goes on for like half hour of just back and forth. And you know, and it's doing it. Not only has all the knowledge of all the components that I'm using, but it also remembers all the details that I've told it about this. And it has all that information really well organized, and it organizes it for me, basically. So like once I've told it about something, it doesn't forget about it, and it knows how to use it in constructing the next thing we ought to look at. Anyway, we go through this for about, I don't know, what did I say, 15 minutes, half hour, somewhere in that range. And we narrow it down, and then it says, well, okay, tell me what WebSockets package you're using on Node.js. And so I go look it up, my package.json file, and it's called, here, let me just go get it, just make sure I get it right. Yes, it's called Node.js-WebSocket. Okay, and I remember making the decision to use this. I remember having no basis to make the decision, no advice anywhere that I could count on. There were like five different packages. I did Google searches. I did Stack Exchange searches. I looked anywhere I could. I probably even did a brain trust query on my blog, Scripting News. And I remember like, I don't know how to do it. Which one should I pick? I don't know. So I picked one. And I haven't actually tested the advice that I've gotten yet. But the advice, what it comes down to is, well, it said, I'm 99.9% sure the problem is that you're using a package that hasn't been updated in 15 years. And it's probably not compatible with all of the WebSocket functionality that it needs to handle, and it's probably failing. And we know this because certain parts of the code aren't being reached, so we put error checking in places where it wasn't before. We're not getting those error messages, so we know like pretty damn well what failed And it had all the information about Caddy and about Node.js and about Linux and all the rest of this shit. I mean, I don't know. I could never keep track of all that stuff. You wouldn't believe all the crazy details I have to keep, you know, just to keep the system running. But so okay, I believe we've got it solved. I will test it tomorrow morning when I'm fresh, because unlike me, it never gets tired, but I do. I'm at the end of my day. I did a lot of work this morning. I have a corner turn coming this at midnight tonight, where the new email system that I have is going to kick in, and it's going to send out tonight's emails. And if that works, oh boy, I had to do that so slowly and carefully, because you can't have it fuck up. It's going to go out to thousands of people tonight, right? This email. And if it fucks up, well, you know, you think any of them are going to report any bugs? I don't think so. You think any of the bug reports will be any good? No, they won't. And there'll probably be some anger and some people thanking me for trying, but they're going to unsubscribe now. It's something you don't want to have happen. You want it to be seamless, and for all kinds of reasons other than the pragmatic ones. It's just a matter of self-respect. And I'm doing that work because I need really good email sending from blogs, because I'm making blog writing software now, and it's really good, but it has to also go out via email, and I can't it has to be great. It just has to be great. And in order for it to have a chance to be great, I have to have control over it. I have to be able to iterate over it without hitting problems all over the place. It has to be really tight. And it wasn't before, because I wrote it a long time ago. And back then, I made the decisions on what to do without the benefit of having ChatGPT, which is one of the reasons why I was able to make it so much better this time, because it knows about all the crazy things email clients do with HTML. Could I have found it 5 or 8, I think it was 8 years ago I wrote this code originally. Could I have found all that information 8 years ago? Excuse me, but no effing way. It might have been out there, but there was no way to find it. But not true anymore. And you know, you ask it a question, why do we have to do it this way? And it can tell you in far more detail than you ever wanted to know why it should be that, why it has to be that way. And it's not hallucinating. It's people joke about that as if it's some, you know what? Human beings sometimes get things wrong too, FYI. We excuse ourselves when we do that because we know we can't be perfect. And same thing's true of this thing. It also is not very creative, I have to say. It goes down blind alleys too easily. And I have to remember that it could be leading me off into a total cul-de-sac. It has before, and I've ended up wasting a shitload of time doing that. So, like any tool. But I also, when I learned how to drive, I learned not to drive off the road. I learned to stop at stop signs, and although there's nothing that prevents me actually from going through the stop sign, I stop anyway because that's the rule. You have to do that. The same thing's true here. It's a freaking tool. It isn't capable of creativity in reality. But that's not the story, and I don't know if it thinks, or if it does, I don't know how it thinks. But you know, I don't give a shit. It's fucking amazing. You know, I say this all the time. It's like I can't believe I lived to see this. I was very cynical about this shit, by the way. I would have told you, no, it's never going to happen. I lived through all kinds of snake oil claims of people that had said, well, now you can program in English, and go, yeah, sure. Every time somebody says they're doing that, they're really just doing a design program for user interfaces, which is very different from writing programs. It's just enough to, you know, fool some people into believing that that's what you're doing, but it isn't. But in this case, it's the truth. It really is doing it. And you know, if you're a reporter that doesn't want to look like a complete fucking idiot, before you write the story that says this shit is trivial, you ought to clear some time and actually use it to solve some problem. You know, writers, journalists, They have to do, if they're doing their job right, they have to do a lot of research and a lot of get a lot of background information to be sure that they're not completely barking up the wrong tree, you know? And so try using it for that. I don't think you'll be disappointed if you really, really give it a shot. I have yet to see, actually, this is amazing. I've yet to see a story in mainstream journalism about AI tools that really gets the incredible story of what's happening here. If I had, I would completely remember it. And I would cheer for, I mean, I would, because I do that. I mean, there was one story in the 2016 election campaign written by Evan Osnos at New York Magazine. One story that answered the question that everybody should have been asking, and all the reporters should have been doing this, is realistically, what would a Trump administration be like? Yeah, isn't that the story? I mean, what is the purpose of being a journalist covering a presidential campaign? The idea is to help inform the electorate, isn't it? I mean, if the people talk about the fourth estate, you know, this is a branch of government, for crying out loud. If its job isn't to help voters make good decisions, then tell me what its role is in that context, because I don't see any other role for it, honestly. Informing the voters, the electorate, that's a big job, but, like, do they do it? There was one article in that whole campaign, and it never happened in 2017. If it had happened, it would have taken a completely different approach. And it might have saved us a ton of grief. Because what it would have said is, hey, this is what the guy is saying he's going to do. Why don't we just focus on that? Why don't we draw that picture? They also published, you know, Project 2025. What a fucking blueprint. Why don't we assume that they actually get to do half of that? They're going to do all of it, by the way, FYI. Well, they shrug their shoulders and they say, you know, actually, we're pretty open about what we're doing. And they were. Why did a single American voter not have that resource at their hands? So they didn't have to read the 900-page document and somehow figure it out. And why wouldn't they take it seriously when the guy said, I am your retribution, all this shit? So why don't we get started with real journalism for once and do it the real way? Is like, really, go find out what this stuff is and write about that instead of about like the same old boring story that you guys are writing all the time about this, and y'all think you're so clever and you're proud of yourselves. You got the scoop. Well, you didn't get the scoop. It was sitting right there out there in front of you and you didn't get it. This happens all the time. We'll hear about it later from you, but it'll be later if it's happening right now, you know? It's like the whole business with Cambridge Analytica, and that was the company that showed what kind of harmful things you could do with access to all of everybody's information on Facebook. But just a few years before that was 2016, so I'm saying 2011, I think it was. So it would be 5 years before, Facebook had a great developer conference. And at that conference, they announced the Open Graph. And the Open Graph was going to be something incredible, world-changing. All of a sudden, you would have a data structure, a global data structure, where everybody's information would be hanging off of it. You could write software against it. Who knows what software you could write? And he gave this, you know, incredible speech where, oh my God, this is the future. I can't believe it. It's so great. And we've implemented it. And no reporter ever thought to ask, well, how could this possibly be used in not a very friendly way? You had to wait for 5 years before you even asked that question. And then you acted as if you'd been conned, but you never were conned. They were always very open about what they were doing. So, all right, I've talked enough. I haven't done a podcast in a while. I have recorded them, but I haven't wanted to release them just because I wasn't satisfied with any of them. This one, I do the usual thing. I'm self-critical here a lot, is that I ramble a lot, and, you know, and I'm not proud of that, but, you know, that's who I am. And if you made it this far, I want to thank you for listening, and talk to you later. Bye-bye.